Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Point Podcast. My name is Todd Stiles. I'm one of the pastors at First Family Church. Today is Tuesday, November the 11th, 2025. Yes, it's Veterans Day. I'm glad you're listening in as we take a look back at last Sunday's text. And this week, we will make an exception to that rule. It's generally the pattern of the Extra Point Podcast to do exactly that. But this week, I want to make good on a promise that I gave you at our Fresh Encounter. It's our periodic Sunday night gathering in which we just really spend concentrated time in prayer, in worship. It's a sweet, sweet time for our church. And last Sunday evening, we did so in what we referred to as in the round. We gathered in a circle, rearranged our setting, and it was just a wonderfully refreshing time of prayer, of praise, of God's Word being central to every bit of that. And I trust that you, if you were there, I trust that you were greatly edified. It really does tie in well to what God has been doing in our church, especially over the last 2 months, as we have sensed a working of the Holy Spirit in some very manifest ways at key times. And we've tried to lean into that with some additional prayer gatherings in the morning, not only our quarterly time, but for the month of October, we did this every week. And so there were just some moments we were sensing that the Holy Spirit of God was working in us in manifest ways. We all know that God's Holy Spirit is sovereignly present all the time, but there are moments in which His work is manifest. In other words, there are very visible results that He's pressing in, that He's gifting us, that He's refreshing us, even reviving us. And so as we think about what's been going on at First Family over the last couple of months especially, and how we've made some adjustments to some things, whether it be in our service order for the month of September around communion, whether it be in our weekly prayer gatherings for October, or even in our Fresh Encounter gatherings, the question I've been asking, and I want to answer today, is this: how do we expect the unexpected? And that's the question that I think I'm using to refer to. How do we have anticipation for the Spirit's manifest presence, knowing that we can't manufacture it? We don't produce it. There's not an equation necessarily. It's not something that we, you know, engineer. But yet we are longing to see God move among us. We long for much of what 1 Corinthians 14 talks about, where at the end of the day, an unbeliever would say, truly, God is among you. So how do we expect what we really can't produce or manufacture? So in one sense, it's unexpected, and yet we don't want to never expect it. How do we have anticipation knowing we can't produce it? How do we long for something when we know it's not within our power to necessarily fulfill that longing? These are all questions I've been wrestling with, especially the last couple of months, as I've seen in our church a real move, a real fresh encounter, a wave of the Holy Spirit's manifest presence at key times. To be very honest, I've experienced it personally on a couple, maybe three moments in the last couple of months. And I told you Sunday night at Fresh Encounter that I would share more about those moments on today's podcast. And so that's why I'm taking a break from our normal protocol, and I want to address this question and share a personal testimony. How do we expect the unexpected? And so let me share with you not only what I think I have drawn from the Bible, but how I have experienced it. And of course, experience never trumps Scripture. But I will say to you, experience often validates or aligns with Scripture and builds our faith in those moments. We see God working just as He said He would. And so I want to share with you what I think are three words that have helped increase my sensitivities to God's Spirit. Three words that have helped me maybe learn how to Can I say posture myself to expect the unexpected? Perhaps this is how I can begin to position myself for and with anticipation, though I know I can't be the producer. And I'll tell you the three words, and then I want to walk you through kind of how that played out in these three moments. I won't give you exact details on all of them. I'll just kind of reference one of them, but I think they are very similar. And so the three words, I think, really help us expect the unexpected. They help us long for what we know we can't, you know, fulfill on our own. They help us anticipate, knowing we can't be the producer. Three words, they are these. The Word, speaking of the Word of God, Scripture. Number two, time. And number three, waves. So if you were to just as simply use three words, I would say they are Word, time, and waves. Now, let me expand on those a bit. I'm confident that any move of the Spirit of God, the manifest presence of God in key moments, is tied directly to the Word of God. I've told you for a number of months now that the Word of God and the Spirit of God are inseparable partners in the work of God. And so we don't want to have to try to cut that baby in half, right? We don't want to try to divide that. We want to realize that they always work together. And in my experience, especially recently, this has been true, I think, for decades in my life, but I have especially sensed this in the last 2 months, that as I've given the Word more time, I have sensed and experienced a greater, deeper, refreshing wave of the Spirit. And this was especially true one Tuesday morning during our quarterly gathering for prayer when the elders meet with our church and those that would like to join us. And I recall the exact moment. It was about 6 o'clock, you know, that's when we start those prayer gatherings. And between 6 and 6:20, I was just walking around the auditorium. I was praying over the seats where people normally sit on Sunday. And I was going through the verses on the handout we gave our church, 5 verses about revival in Scripture. One of them was Isaiah 57:15, and I just kept reading that to myself. And in the course of that, the verse just began to weigh in on me. The Word began to do its work, as I often say. And all around 6:20 or so, I remember just taking a knee on the front row and just bowing my head in prayer and thanking God for the truth of this verse, Isaiah 57:15, which is that God lives in a high and holy place. He lives forever. His name is holy. He's high and exalted. And then the verse says this, but he also lives with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, to revive the heart of the contrite. And I just remember in that moment just thinking, what an amazing truth that God can do both of these, dwell in beautiful light and holiness, and yet also with the lowly and contrite. And it just began to weigh heavy on me. And what happened next really was just a pressing in of the Holy Spirit using this verse in my life to overwhelm me with God's incredible greatness and vastness and sovereignty and majesty. And this is really one of the key elements of our posture. In order to see the unexpected in ways that we're not completely surprised, because we do expect God to work by His Spirit and through His Word, I think we have to begin with the Word. The Word must be central to our longing for the Holy Spirit to move among us in manifest ways. So I want to encourage you, this is the posture of the Christian who's expecting the unexpected, who's anticipating God to move, is the Word is always central. Start with the Word. Read it. Get up under it. Sing it. Pray it. Believe it. And let the Word of God just soak over you, massage you. This is so critical and so important. And so I think the first word I would encourage you with is the Word. That's the word that begins our posture, that sets our face, that positions our knees. We take a posture of humility and surrender to the Word. Incidentally, this is exactly what we see in Scripture. You know, a word of the Lord came to Isaiah, the burning bush. The word of the Lord came to Moses in the upper room. It was in prayer and the word as they were waiting. And even in Acts 4, I think, as they were praying and using many Old Testament scriptures in their prayers and claiming promises from the Old Testament. And then the room was shaken where they were gathered. It's true that the manifest presence of God, the Holy Spirit, is an inseparable partner to the word of God spoken, believed. And so we must realize that the word is just critical as we think about expecting the unexpected. Now, back to that Tuesday morning, as that verse continued to weigh on me, I became so overwhelmed that I just began to weep. And what I thought were just a few tears at the beginning, and that's not unusual for me. Most worship services at our church, there's a few tears at certain points. But I began to weep in a way that I haven't wept in a long time, to the extent that I felt like I couldn't stop crying. And they weren't tears of sadness. They weren't tears of regret. They were tears of incredible wonder that God would live in such vast majesty and holiness and yet dwell with us. And more specifically, I was astounded and laid low by the fact that God would dwell with me. And it just overwhelmed me to the point that tears began to flow and I could not stop them. And I don't know how else to explain it except to say to you that the emotion that I was experiencing in regards to this text and the truth of it, it was a moment in which the Holy Spirit pressed very heavily on me and into me with the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, working to change me, a man who wants to be a man of God. And they both were just really pressing in. And so this is one of the things that I want to bring to you as the second word. I think time is also very critical because that wasn't until about, I'd say, 6:25. We started praying around 6. I walked the auditorium. I greeted a few people, prayed with maybe one or two others. But at some point, I remember kneeling on that front row. And I remember when the tears began to flow and I realized I can't just stop crying. I looked at my watch thinking, what time is it? What's going on? And it was about 6:25. One of my concerns was that we had a microphone and I was hoping to be able to read some scripture over those who had come. I was thinking other folks might read scripture and pray, but I was completely unable to even speak. I just kept kind of gasping for breath. You know, you try to catch your breath when you're crying in a somewhat pretty deep fashion. I couldn't catch my breath. I thought I'm not going to be able to speak from the mic. But I could not stop the incredible, deep, what I would say, manifest presence of God's Spirit in my life. It was so heavy in a joyful, beautiful fashion. And so this lasted, I would say, up until about 7 o'clock at least. Now, in all candor, there were a couple of people who came over to pray with me, and they really weren't aware of what had happened previous to this. This was probably now 6:40 or so. And I think they left kind of concerned. Is Todd okay? One even asked a friend of mine later, like, is Todd all right? Is something the matter? And the real truth is I was more than all right. I was in a terrific moment with the Lord, experiencing His manifest presence, His beauty and His wonder. I'd lost, really, to be honest with you, any sense of what was going on around me. I was aware some folks had come to pray, and they did. I didn't pray after them. In the middle of those, I was still weeping pretty much uncontrollably. And I remember thinking in that moment, like, I'm probably being a terrible pastor. I should be praying with the folks in the congregation. I should be moving around to those who've come to pray with their elders. But I could not muster out any words. All I could do was just weep. And I was in such a, to be honest with you, a very deep moment of fellowship with the Lord. And this is what takes time, I believe. And I think often we want to see the unexpected in somewhat of a quick fashion, like the first time we go to pray or within the first 5 minutes of our prayer, or we take a need to the authority of God. We expect to see, you know, an unbelievable manifest presence of God's Spirit within the next 60 seconds. But I remind you, we've been praying as a church together quarterly and sometimes monthly as elders. We meet as elders only every single week. We've been doing this for years. And yet some weeks go by and there's simply disciplined prayer. There's continued regular prayer that's not unspiritual at all. It honors the Lord. It's good for the congregation. But not every week, not every single moment is a manifest move of God's Spirit. But over time, we do believe that God will meet with his people in manifest ways. How he does that and when he does that is at his discretion. Psalm 115 says that he's the Lord who does as he pleases. But I think if we would be willing to spend more time within the disciplines that God uses often to prepare us for his manifest presence, we would see more of the unexpected. Now, I think that's one of the words we have to get our hands around. How do we spend more time in the things that accompany the manifest presence of God, the unexpected? I think when we do that, when we spend time in those elements, that's expecting the unexpected while knowing full well we can't produce it or manufacture it or engineer it, but we are willing to wait for it and we ask God for it and we long for it. You see, I think a move of the Spirit, the working of God in manifesting his presence in key moments, whether personally or corporately, that doesn't discount discipline, not at all. I think actually the manifest presence of God is one of the ways that enforces, and maybe I should say even reinforces, the disciplines of the Christian life, because God often works over a long period of time. His answers to our prayers come sometimes after long periods of beseeching him and interceding him. We're not trying to convince him, but he's on timetables that often we're not aware of. And so we don't grow weary. We don't accuse God of not listening or of falling asleep. We continue steadfast in prayer, and we continue to express our heart's longing and desire. And then when God does move, when the unexpected occurs, so to speak, we find great, deep joy in that. Often it is the result, so to speak, from a human perspective of continuing in prayer, steadfastness and intercession. So I want to encourage you that the first two words that I think have helped me expect the unexpected, anticipate without producing, like be aware without forcing something, are simply the word and then time. And giving enough time to certain disciplines so that our hearts are tenderized and sensitive, and there's room then for God to step in manifest ways, in moments, and in long sessions where he can work in us and through us and on us, to be frank with you. When that occurs, I think that's what I refer to as a wave of the Spirit. You could call it a season, a refreshing moment. You could call it revival. My own experience is that it seemed like a wave that rushed upon me. And then it did, after a bit of time, leave. Now, God's Spirit didn't leave me. We're not orphans. That's what Jesus promised. We have the Holy Spirit. But his refreshing manifest presence, that moment in which it was an overwhelming sense that his presence was right there, that does wax and wane, I think. And so there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's simply the way God's Spirit often works when he manifests his presence, his weight, and when other times his sovereign presence is what we are knowing. And so I do think that it's perfectly fine to talk about waves of the Spirit upon us. You could say it's much like the gifting of the Spirit. Not all of us use our gifts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but we are available, and the Spirit sovereignly distributes His gifts as He sees fit. This is what Romans 12 says. And so often, in a moment that you least expected, you're trying to meet a need, you're available, you're simply intersecting with a situation that needs some help or attention, and God will gift you supernaturally to meet needs and to point to Jesus in a moment. It may be any of the gifts listed, but you're not operating in that in a 24-hour way, but the Spirit hasn't left you. You're not unspiritual when the gift's not in play, but when the gift is in use, it is a supernatural moment, God being put on display, so to speak. It's a manifest moment of God's presence. And so I think it's the same sense when we, in a personal way, in a corporate way, sense the real weight of God upon us. It is something that I believe comes in waves. And that morning, I remember about 7:15, a lot of the heaviness really began to subside. And here's one of the ways that I was convinced that it was the Holy Spirit, because when I sensed it was kind of coming to a close, I was kind of gathering my emotions, so to speak. I was able to speak. I was able to kind of catch my breath a bit. I remember thinking, I don't want this moment to end. And the Lord brought an immediate sense of relief to me that this was not a moment of competition. This was not a moment of comparison. I didn't need to feel guilty for not staying in this moment or being able to keep this experience going. It was under His control. He was manifesting His presence in response to His word to comfort and strengthen and encourage me. And that is exactly what happened. But now there was a moment to, can I use this phrase, kind of get back to work. There were some things I had to do. There was a schedule to keep. There were some things that needed to happen. And so the Lord is just so gracious and kind. And in that moment, I remember Him just nudging me, saying, Todd, go do your work. Continue with the things that you know you need to take care of. And I remember when I got up, I just had this overwhelming confidence that God had met with me. And that's not to say that God wasn't with me when I left. He was. He never leaves us. The Holy Spirit was in me. I'm sealed by His Holy Spirit. But there were a few moments on that Tuesday morning when God's Spirit manifestly and overwhelmingly indicated His presence to me and in me. And the words that I think resound with me after the fact are these. It starts with the Word. It takes time, and it comes in waves. The other two moments really were very similar in that after I left that, because of my incredible contentment and the sense from the Lord that this was not a thing to compare to other people, I didn't have any sense of thinking that I needed to reproduce it in some way or I had to chase after it. It was an incredible sense of just gratitude and contentment. In fact, all day long, I had an amount of joy that it's hard to describe to you. But I do remember this, the very next day, just thinking, God, I'm going to give more time to Your Word, and I'm going to plead with You and just ask You to meet with me again. And there was nothing in there to try to produce a feeling. I just remember thinking, God, I want more of that. I want more of You. And so the other two moments were very similar at different times. They weren't both in the mornings. That one was, but they were at different times of the day. But they did involve the same three elements, at least from my experience. And I think they do fit the pattern that we see in the Word often, that the Word is central. It's the beginning place. It's what brings us to brokenness. It's what drives our repentance. It's what reveals things in our heart that needs to change. It's what highlights God. It's what really spotlights the gospel. There's so many things that occur when the Word is the central starting place. And so all three of these more recent moments in my life have been from that. And this is not to say that there haven't been other moments with the Word that have been quite wonderful. But those three stand out because they were longer. I gave them more time. And God in His graciousness and His sovereignty chose to meet with me in very manifest ways on all three occasions. But I don't have more than those at this point. But yet I've been in the Word every day. I've been trying to pray and seek the Lord. Not every single day ends up like that. Not every single encounter, devotional time, or Bible study ends up in that way. And I don't feel any guilt for that. And that's one of the signs that we're really not, we're not trying to produce, we're not trying to manufacture, and we're not in competition to get a larger thrill. We're just so grateful that God meets with us when he does. And every time we're going to come to his presence with the word in prayer and brokenness and repentance, we're going to make the word central. We're going to spend adequate time, and we're going to give many minutes to that. And then we're going to ask God to meet with us and to fulfill our longings as he does, how he does that, and to the extent he does that, that's up to him. And we receive all of God's blessings with extreme gratitude. And what I found is that those three words have begun to characterize much of my longing for a greater work of the Holy Spirit, not only in my life personally, in sanctification and in unction and in power, but also among our church, in really chasing hard after the mission of God and seeing the Holy Spirit empower us for witnessing to the ends of the earth. These are the three words that I want to bring to you as three words that will help you with a posture to expect the unexpected, to anticipate a refreshing, reviving from the Holy Spirit of God, to know that you can't produce it, that you don't manufacture it, that you're not the one who engineers it, to know that though you're longing, you can't even do anything to fulfill that longing. It's simply God's work. All those things are true. And yet we come to the table, starting with the word. We give adequate time to let the word do its work in us. And we humble ourselves and take a posture of surrender. And then we just wait on the Lord. It's a very biblical phrase used multiple times in the Psalms. We wait on the Lord. And when the Lord moves beyond his sovereign presence into his manifest presence, whether personally or corporately, when there are visible signs the Holy Spirit of God is moving among us, whether it's in the effects upon us personally or the giftings among the body, we rejoice in that. And we thank the Lord deeply for the powerful work of the Spirit, his breath blowing upon us or upon the church. And so, church, I just want to encourage you. I want to urge you. I want to pastorally lean on you to start with the word, to give it adequate time, to spend many minutes with the Lord and his word, because the word and the spirit are inseparable partners. And then to wait on him for those waves of the spirit and to enjoy every single one of them, regardless of their length or intensity. And know this, that even in between the waves, God is with you and God is working. And to enjoy those moments of greater intensity, of deeper intimacy, enjoy those and continue walking steadfastly in between them. So as I close today, let me provide for you a set of metaphors that has helped me expect the unexpected using these three words, but also picturing these different metaphors. It's much like a hitter, a baseball batter. They expect to get a hit. They don't always get a hit, but they go up to bat expecting to get a hit, and they do a lot of work in advance. They do their part so that when they go to bat, the opportunity to get a hit is very possible. That's one metaphor that helps me think about how to expect the unexpected, to make the word central, to give it plenty of time, and to then look for waves of the Spirit. I think about taking a hike and how often you know what the end result is, but you're not sure when it's coming and where it's going to be, or maybe all the scenes along the way. You're not sure when you may come to a certain, you know, peak or a clearing, and you'll see a beautiful scene. But you're hiking expecting to see those things. You're just not sure exactly when they're going to happen. It's much like a gift during the holidays. I think most people, if they're honest, would say they probably do expect their spouse to get them a gift. Nothing wrong with that. But you don't act like you expect it, and you're not presumptuous about it. When you're given the gift, you're very grateful. But yet, you honestly probably do expect your spouse to get you a gift during the holidays. That's not wrong. And so I think much of this expecting the unexpected is within the parameter of those kinds of metaphors. And so these three words, these three metaphors, they just have helped me be much more comfortable longing for the work and the manifest presence of God's Spirit. God has given His Spirit to those who believe. This is a good gift from God. And I'm so thankful that at certain times, the Holy Spirit manifests His presence to us in ways that are noticeable and visible. The effects of the Holy Spirit are overwhelming, whether personal or even to others in spiritual gifting moments. I'm just so thankful for the Holy Spirit, and I want to continue to posture myself, and I'm asking you to join me in our church to posture ourselves to rightfully expect the unexpected and anticipate the work of the Lord in supernatural ways for the good of our church, the benefit of our city, and the glory of God.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.